All right, it's about that time, so let's go ahead and get started. I have to remember not to walk beyond here so that the video camera can still catch me. If I go over there, somebody holler out and tell me to go over here. So hi, everybody. My name is Rob Howard. I'm a program manager on the SharePoint Developer Experience team, and I'm really excited to be here today to share with you guys some information about building apps, building Windows 8 apps, and building SharePoint apps. That use Azure and integrate with client and services across a whole bunch of boundaries to create really cool end-to-end experiences. And I've got with me Donovan Follett. I'll let him introduce himself.
Yeah, I'm Donovan Follett. I work in developer and platform evangelism. I focus 100% on Office and SharePoint. So the new app model is really exciting for us to be able to talk about. Today we are going to talk about the things that Rob owns in the SharePoint platform. And so Rob is responsible for these different technologies that we're going to highlight today. Now, this is a packed hour, all right? And so with this packed hour, there's going to be lots of demos. The initial demo is an end-to-end solution that just shows kind of that big, broad picture of the types of things that you can do with Windows 8, Windows Azure, Office 365, and what the new app model allows you to do. Now, the only problem is with that is that although it shows you all of those great and exciting kinds of things, we don't have time in an hour to push into them as deeply as we would like. So what we are going to do today is we're going to focus on and deep dive into those technologies that are the foundational core types of technologies that you as developers need to be aware of, because it's these core technologies that allow you to build the types of demos that are apps and solutions that primary demo shows. Now, those foundational technologies then, the ones that Rob owns and is going to talk deeply about today, are the, first of all, is the API. Now, the APIs have been broadly enriched for SharePoint 2013, whereas in the past, in 2010, you had CSOM, and you could come in and do a number of things on the platform from the client, but now we have extended those APIs out very, very, very broadly, and Rob's going to talk about that. We also have this new app principle, and the app principle is a wonderful thing because just like a user principle, an app principle now has permissions and rights and can be authenticated and come back into the application either as a user or on its own and do things inside of SharePoint and push things into SharePoint or pull things out of SharePoint, and Rob's going to discuss the app principle with you as well. And then lastly, one of the great things about SharePoint 2013 is the fact that we can now get remote events. So with event receivers that we had for a number of years inside of SharePoint, with those event receivers, you could always have custom code that would fire on those events, but that custom code ran under SharePoint's cover and in SharePoint's processes. However, with the remote event receivers, essentially now you can call out to a web service that you own. So when an event fires in SharePoint, your remote event web service can be notified, do the processing, talk back. Rob's going to cover that goodness too. All right, so with that in mind, although we may not have a lot of time for questions at the end, we're going to pack this full. Rob and I are both going to be at the Office booth, and right after this session, we'll talk as long as you want. I personally will talk at the booth as long as you want all day today and half the day tomorrow if you'd like. So just make sure that if you need to talk and have some questions, come by the booth and we'll push into these things even more deeply. Now, the key takeaway then for today is that with this new cloud app model for SharePoint and its rich service APIs, your apps can consume SharePoint better than ever before. That's really what we're saying, and what we want you to be able to see and recognize is this new app model opens up a whole new class of applications and solutions that you can build on top of SharePoint. And so with the APIs, you can consume SharePoint as a service. Now, what is this new cloud-based app model? Well, it simply says that you can build your solutions using any language and hosted on any server, whether it's on-premises or whether it's in the cloud, using any standard web technologies, and we then give you the APIs and the technologies to be able to come back into SharePoint and Office if you've been to the other sessions and leverage the platform. So that's what the new cloud app model is all about. So with that, we want to just move directly into just a little discussion about the initial demo that we're going to talk about. So we have this company, and this company, of course, is Contoso, and they are wishing to build out a new set of mobile devices and mobile services that will run on the mobile devices that they have, and of course, those are great Windows 8 mobile devices for our scenario here. And so they're wanting to build out a solution for their salespeople so that they want to track leads coming into the company for different work to be done by customers, and they want to be able to follow that lead tracking, track that lead all the way through and end to a bid completion. And they want the salespeople to be able to have notifications as those types of, as that lead moves through the processes of the company. So they also want it to be a 100% cloud-based solution. So this is just kind of a little busy chart here, and it's kind of a leave behind, but mainly what I want to do just before we get into the demo, and we'll call out the different places that different types of things are being used. But if you look at the far left-hand side, we have the client technologies. First of all, Windows 8, of course, is the star of the show here. We have the Windows 8 application, but then we also have Microsoft's Word that's going to be used. We're going to land a solution out on Microsoft Word with our statement of work. But in the middle section here, as far as in the cloud, we have the two components of the cloud here. First of all, in the middle section, we have Office 365. This is an Office 365 2013 site, of course. And we have two parts of that. There's the public-facing site in SharePoint Online, and that's where our customers come and enter a request for a quote. And then we have the internal Office 365 side of things, and that's where all of the, certainly the employees communicate on SharePoint and do have their document libraries and things like that. But then the backbone of everything are services out in Windows Azure. So if you look on the far right-hand side, we have Windows Azure Cloud Services. We have two MVC4 applications that are out in web roles. Those could be websites. It's just that we implemented them as web roles, but they could be Azure websites as well. We use Windows Azure Workflow Server. That's the server that manages the SharePoint workflow for us. And we also use Windows Azure Access Control Services, and that helps us with the OAuth piece of our application. And then we have a Windows Azure SQL database, and that's where all of our sales leads are tracked. Have I left anything out? Are we okay?
No, I think you're good.
Okay. All right, so let's go ahead and get into the demo then, right off. Rob, if you punch me to two.
Two.
There we go. Okay, great. So this is my Office 365 2013 brand new site. It's completely branded for Contoso compressors. And this is the public-facing site. So on this site, this is where our customers come to request a quote. So we'll just go ahead and request a quote here. Everything starts. Now, this website is a provider-hosted site as far as the app model is concerned. You know, we have auto-hosted, we have provider-hosted. This is a provider-hosted, which simply means there's pieces of this site that live on SharePoint, and there's pieces that live out in Windows Azure. This is a Windows Azure MVC4 app. So we have now the website is being rendered inside of our Chrome control here. This is one of the controls that we provide with the new app model. So the user doesn't know that they necessarily went out to another site, but the Chrome control completely wraps this site, provides some CSS so we can match the site, as well as it gives us the track back to the site. So I can simply go back to the site just by clicking that. And so we'll request a quote here. So we're going to, let's go order new pump. And the company is Fabricam. And the details is here are install, new pump, contact person, Adam Barr. Oops, here, barr@fabricam.com. And we'll pick a date. We'll start this at the end of the month. And then our industry is trucking. So when we click submit here, you're going to notice immediately up in the upper right-hand corner, because I'm on a Windows 8 device, but this is, in this case, I'm playing the role of a customer, but I'm also on the device that a salesperson would be carrying around. So when I click Submit here, what this does is this goes out, enters a lead into the SQL Azure database, enters a sales lead, and you notice that I instantly get a toast on my Windows 8 application as a salesperson saying, hey, please create an estimate for this order, the order pump project, the company is Fabricam. So at this point, the salesperson that works with Fabricam can pick up this sales lead. So with that, we'll go ahead and pop over directly to my Windows 8 app. And here's my Windows 8 device that the salespeople are carrying around. You can see up here that I have my Contoso custom application. This is my sales tool. And what we have is in the tile, we are just rotating through some key performance information here. One rotation of the tile is the quarterly revenue. Another rotation of the tile is the year-to-date revenue. And the other tile is the last toast that has come into the application. Now, these tiles are being updated with Windows notification services anytime a bid gets accepted in the process. So anytime a bid goes accepted in the sales lead, in the sales lead database, then this tile is going to get updated because the background revenue gets updated for it. So we'll click into the application. Here's our Contoso opportunity tracking application. What we have on the far left-hand side is we have charts that are actually in Excel. So these are under Excel services. This is a spreadsheet. User can click on these charts at any time and go directly into the Excel web app and display these charts. Those charts are being retrieved into the application, into the Windows 8 application, just by the REST APIs that Excel services gives us. So you can look at the different chart, look at the chart here at any point in time. We'll go ahead and close that out and come back to our app. The other thing that the Windows 8 app does is I can drill into any one of my companies. Here's the Litware company. Once I go into Litware, you can see the sales leads for Litware that are in the process and the different statuses on those. But also now we've trimmed the charts to only show the Litware sales revenue. So again, we're retrieving those directly out of Excel services with our REST APIs. Now, if we come into Fabricam, here's the order the new pump. This is the new item that we have. So we have retrieved this information out of the SQL database. So we can see that there's no revenue information here. So we'll go ahead and create an estimate. So we'll keep this really simple. We'll just go item one here, 100 units at $100 each for $10,000. Now, this is where things get really exciting, okay? Because when I click save on this, a number of things are going to happen that are going to push this into a process and into a workflow in SharePoint that is going to just trip along as this order gets worked through for this lead. So we'll click save, and immediately once we click save on that, you can see up here in the upper right-hand corner that an SOW has been created for the order new pump project. That's a statement of work for the company, and that needs to be approved. Now, I as a salesperson have just received this notification here. But on clicking save, a number of things happened. First of all, the sales lead was updated in the SQL Azure database for an estimate, okay? So the sales lead was updated. Then a workflow was kicked off in SharePoint. So we have a workflow, a Windows Azure workflow that's been kicked off. And that workflow calls out to the MVC4 application and asks to create a statement of work. So the MVC4 application, using the app principle, okay, using the app principle and OAuth, comes back into SharePoint Online, pulls out a document template, a Word document template for the SOW, pulls that back into its process, reaches out to SharePoint, out to SQL Azure, pulls in the data for that lead, cracks open the template with the OpenXML SDK, generates the SOW on the fly, and then pushes it back into a SharePoint document library. That SharePoint document library of SOWs then is available to our sales manager. The next thing that the workflow does is the workflow sends out an approval email to the sales manager, which is Alan, sends out an email to Alan that says, hey, Alan, need you to go in and approve this workflow. So all of this work is done on the internal site, but that's the processes that have been kicked off here. So with that, Rob.
All right, so we're going to switch over to me. I'm Alan now. I'm the sales manager who's just gotten this notification about an approval for a statement of work. I'm currently in the internal site, so this is kind of the intranet site of our Office 365 environment for Contoso compressors. You can see up the top we've got that suite nav, our suite navigation for Office 365, and I've already got my Outlook web app open. So if I refresh my Outlook web app, should get a assigned task based on the workflow. That may take a minute to get sent, so I'll just go to one of the ones from before. So I should get an email like this. It says a new task has been assigned to you. It tells me information about who it's assigned to, the description of that task, and then has a link to that task in SharePoint. So when I click on the link, it's going to open up my SharePoint site and take me directly to that task. It tells me all kinds of metadata about the task, but it also has a list of all of the related items that have to do with this task, including that statement of work that was created on the fly when Donovan was filling out the estimate. So when I click on that, it'll open it up inside of Word. This is, again, opening up straight from Office 365. And you can see it opens up that statement of work, and inside the statement of work, you can see information that was automatically filled out as part of the OpenXML SDK. So things like the estimate, the begin date, the project name, who the client administrator is, and the client name. And in addition, you'll see an Office app. So this is the apps for Office Notion you may have heard about in previous sessions, where I can actually take live web content and embed it inside of Office documents and have it interact with that Office document. So in this case, what you're seeing here is a report being generated by data, again, inside of Excel services from Office 365 that's showing me, for this particular client, Fabricam, what is their yearly revenue and what's their quarterly revenue so that I, as a sales manager, can make decisions based on that and take a look at this estimate and, before it's sent off to the client, decide whether or not I want to approve it. All right, so I'm going to go back into Outlook, see if... Still haven't gotten that notification, so I'll just go to, let's see if we can find one that hasn't been approved yet.
It's all live workflow and live email, so.
That one's been approved.
May not be one.
That one doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, but it goes internal to, that was to the customer. That was the customer's email.
All right, so what you would see here, I'll just go ahead and tell you what you would see. So what you would see here is when I go to edit the task, if it hasn't already been approved, I'd see a button down here at the bottom that says approve or reject. So I can then, as the sales manager, say, I actually want to approve this statement of work. I want to reject it and provide some comments. When I hit approve, that workflow in SharePoint will continue on. It'll do a few things. One, it'll take that approved statement of work document and send it as an attachment along to the customer who asked for the quote in the first place. So it'll continue the process there. It'll also notify the salesperson who created the lead that statement of work has now been approved so that they can work with the person who requested the lead and get that approved as a statement of work and get an actual... job created based on that. So then what I would do when I come back is I would go to this leads list and I would find one that's a new list. So we've got...
That's it. Wired the new compressor.
So we've got the order of the new pump, one that Donovan created here earlier. And I can see that this is an item showing up in SharePoint just like any other list item would. So you see it looks like a SharePoint list for all intents and purposes. What this actually is is it's a BCS model, a business connectivity services model, that's actually pointed directly at the SQL Azure database running in the SQL Azure portion that Donovan had on the right side there. So the data is being surfaced directly from that SQL Azure database, and when I modify it, it goes directly back to that SQL Azure database. So if I go here and I edit the item, you can see that I can say, the estimate's not great, I'm going to actually change it to bid accepted. I have to get past the scripting here real quick. So I'm going to change it to bid accepted, and before I hit save, I want to get ready because when I hit save, it's going to then flip that bit in SQL Azure. So it's actually going to the SQL Azure database and changing the item there. And then a notification will be created from the SQL Azure side that'll let Donovan know, hey, this bid has been accepted. It'll also do a few other things. It'll go into all the appropriate places and fix up all the data to update sales revenue and show the new revenue for that client. But I'll show you that real quick. So I'm going to hit save and we'll see how fast we can switch. All right.
Okay, so there we go. So again, it's just a part of being able to track all the way through in the Windows 8 app the status of a specific lead that's working its way through the system. So in this case, the very last thing that the salesperson receives is please schedule a project kickoff meeting for the order of the new pump, and the approval has been approved and submitted. The very last thing that the app then does on that app principal ID is the app then also comes, the MVC4 app also comes back into SharePoint and generates a brand new site for this specific project so that there can be collaboration internally on this project on this project, okay? So with that, that's the high-level demo here. And we'll go ahead and click back to the slides then, Rob, and you're on.
All right. So we showed you a big, huge demo. Obviously, there's a lot of moving parts, including maybe a slow email server. And we've got all those pieces integrated in a bunch of different ways. We kind of pointed out as we went along, we said we had event receivers, we said we had external lists, we said we had app principals authenticating and calling our APIs. So what we're going to do now is we're going to dive into a few of those key technologies. In particular, we're going to talk about the APIs, that authentication piece with the app principal, and remote event receivers. We're going to do a few slides and a bunch of demos about how to take advantage of those from within Windows 8 apps and from within your web services. So we're going to start off with our new API, underscore API. And for those of you guys who are familiar with SharePoint, which it seemed like a lot of you were, this is a brand new API. It's got its beginnings in our client object model that we had in SharePoint 2010. But for all intents and purposes, you can think of it as brand new. And this is kind of our one API going forward. It's the API. So if you've dealt with having to figure out whether to use our SOAP services before or to use some of our old REST services or to take advantage of our managed client object model, we've now got a consolidated technology where all of the different APIs that are available in SharePoint are focused. And this is an incredible API because it's usable from all kinds of different technologies and clients. So whether you're writing a Windows 8 app, or you're writing an ASP.NET MVC app, or you're writing an app, God forbid, on PHP or something like that, you can take advantage of this same API and the same set of technologies in order to interact with SharePoint as a service. And it's a huge API in terms of the functionality that's available. Whereas you'd think of things like our client object model and our sandbox service in previous releases as being relatively limited sets of functionality available, this encompasses a huge portion of the functionality available in SharePoint, and this will be the one place where we're making investments going forward in expanding that set. So this will be the one place you go to interact with SharePoint from an API perspective, whether you're on-prem or online. This is kind of what it looks like. This is the architectural diagram, and I'll start here at the bottom. The interaction, the custom code that you write against this API is here. Not step over there. The custom code that you write against this API is here in this little green box on the client side. When we say client, we mean that in loose terms. So that can mean you're on a Windows 8 client machine, literally, or it could mean you actually have a separate server running in Azure, and that just happens to be the client for that particular transaction. So this is the client, whether we're talking about a server or a client, it's the client of this transaction. And you write your custom client code, and you have a bunch of different choices for how you interact with this API depending on what technology you want to use. So in particular, we've got three different APIs, API libraries on the left side. We've got a JavaScript one, and a Silverlight one, and a .NET one. If you're using one of those technologies, you can interact directly with a library that encompasses the functionality of this API. And basically the way those work is you interact with client-side objects, and then once you're kind of ready to take that to the server, you've recorded all of the information almost like running a macro. You've recorded all of the interaction with those client-side objects, and you call execute query to send that interaction to the server and get the result back in that response so that you can execute with it further. And in addition to those technologies, so there, you know, that's a great set of technologies, JavaScript, Silverlight, and .NET, but it might not encompass all the ones you want to use. We've got another capability, which is for the same set of functionality, for all the same things that you can do with those libraries, we also have REST endpoints for all of that functionality. So whether you're writing JavaScript or managed code, or you're writing C++, or you're writing PHP, you can use these REST endpoints to interact with the SharePoint API as well. And in particular, these REST endpoints are OData compliant. So while your client doesn't have to understand OData, if it really just wants to treat it like a REST service, if it does understand OData, you get even some more goodness on top of that if you're familiar with the OData protocol. And in addition, on the server side, this may look a lot like our client object model, especially these libraries on the left side. In previous releases, our client object model really only let you deal with kind of the core stuff in SharePoint Foundation, like lists and libraries. We've now got a whole bunch of other functionality exposed here, things like user profile services, search, taxonomy, our feeds infrastructure, which is a really cool new infrastructure you may not have even heard about. And there's a bunch more. I'm not going to go into detail about exactly which ones are on here. Dev.office.com is the place we're going to point you to for all this documentation. You can look for SharePoint apps documentation there. And you can look at all the different namespaces available to see all the different functionality available in underscore API, whether you're using REST or JavaScript or managed code. And so I'd encourage you to go there or to look at one of the previous talks that goes into a little bit more depth about what all the different pieces are. So we've got a bunch of different technologies that can interact with this API, and we've got a bunch of different functionality that you can get to. And we've got a bunch of consistency in the way that you do that across both of those axes. So across the top, you'll see REST in that second column there. You'll see JavaScript namespaces in that third column. And in the last namespace, you'll see the managed client namespace that you'd use. And on the left side, you see different pieces of functionality you may want to get at. So you can see, for REST, it's underscore API slash web in order to get to web stuff. It's underscore API slash search to get to search stuff. For script, it's just the SP namespace, the root SP namespace, and sp.search to get to search stuff. And for the client namespace, it's microsoft.sharepoint.client.search and microsoft.sharepoint.client for the core stuff. So it's a predictable way of getting at the functionality. It's a predictable structure no matter which technology you're using or which piece of functionality you're trying to get at. And it's also predictable in the way that you use it across technologies. So the way that you generally use it is you kind of go to the core context of the SharePoint site you want to interact with, and then you look at a consistent set of objects off of that. And for REST, the way you get to the core context, and this is why we call it underscore API, is you just go to a SharePoint site, any SharePoint site, and on the end of that URL you append underscore API, and now you're at the root context there, you've got the context. And then after that, you put the functionality you want to interact with, slash web, slash search, slash user profiles, whatever. And then you can look at that object and access properties or access methods on it based on URL parameters like you'd expect in REST. So if I want the web title, I do underscore API, slash web, slash title. In managed code, I create a client context with an object called client context. Again, I just give you the URL of that SharePoint site you want to interact with and create that client context. And then on that context, I do .web, .title, instead of slash web, slash title. And then in JavaScript, it's very similar. It's, again, predictable. I create a client context object, this time using JavaScript. In JavaScript, I have methods for getters, so it's .getweb, .getTitle, instead of .web, .title. But again, it's predictable. The structure of these objects is all the same. It works the same as you would expect across all these different technologies. So here's some sample calls in REST. I'll actually leave those for you to refer to later when you get the deck. I'm really actually now just going to dive into a bunch of demos to talk about the API and to show you some of the cool things you can do with it. So let me switch over to my machine. And I'm going to start with my SkyDrive Pro site. So this is my actual SkyDrive Pro site. You may have known it as my site. This is my place where I keep all of my personal documents related to my organization. This is hosted in Office 365. And I've got a URL for that thing. That's this URL here. msft-my.sbobby.com/personal/rhoward_microsoft.com. So that's my SharePoint site URL. And if I want to interact with objects based on the REST API, it's just REST, so I can just type it in the browser. So I'm going to just go __api/web. Autocomplete got me there. __api/web. And you see I get a feedback. So this is a bunch of XML data. For those of you who are familiar with OData, you'll see that there's a bunch of links at the top here. And the links are telling me H-references. They're telling me links to other objects that are related to the web. So if I want to get to information about the role assignments for that web, or the current user, or the features or fields in that web, it's giving me information about how to get to that through these hrefs over on the right side. So if I have a client that's OData aware, or I know how to follow these links, I can follow the structure of a site through OData. But if I want to treat this just as REST, I can actually just go down to the properties, and I can look at information about the properties. So I can see stuff like its description, I can see its master page URL, I can see its title. So all the properties I'd expect to get based on the web. And of course, I can drill down into specific properties just by using slash title in order to access the title property. And of course, I can get at collections too. So if I do slash lists, I'll get a collection of all the lists in my SkyDrive Pro site. So I can see entries here. These are all the different lists in my SkyDrive Pro site. And I can get to specific lists by doing things like get by title and passing in an argument there, documents, to get the documents list inside my site. So this is actually returning it in an XML feed format. So this is Atom format. OData also supports a way to say, in the header, I'd actually like JSON back instead of XML because I want to use it in JavaScript or some client that prefers JSON. So that's available for all of these endpoints as well. I can get it back in JSON. And it's not just kind of core document functionality that I can get to. For example, I can go in here and I can show you the user profile for me. So you can see things like, here's my name, here's my email, you can see my extended manager list, so you can see that I'm six short promotions from running this place. You can see information about like where my office is and my phone number, you can see the department that I'm part of, where did that go, USPM, SharePoint developer. So you can see all that information about the user profiles, so there's this really powerful API about interacting with users and their metadata that's available through this REST API as well. I'll also use search. So in this case, I'm just doing /search/query, and I'm passing in a really basic OAuth parameter to access search. So this is a really basic query, but the information that I get back is really rich. I can even do queries that allow me to ask for refinement results. So when you see little things on the left-hand side of search, it says, oh, do you want just Word documents, or do you want just things from this author? Our entire search experience is powered by the same functionality that's in this API, and you now have it at your fingertips as an application developer. So I can see, in this one, I can see all of the rows here that are results. So here's one element that's a document. So I can see all this information. There's a bunch of things that came back as OAuth. Of course, I've got a bunch of extra parameters here that I can specify exactly how I want to refine this result or the scope I want to access on this result. So there's a bunch of cool functionality that's available to me through this REST API. But again, it's available whether I'm using the REST API or JavaScript or managed code. It's a consistent API that provides me this functionality across all these different places. So I'm just going to show you a really simple example of a Windows 8 app that takes advantage of some of this REST API, something that you can kind of see the power that you would get out of it without getting too deep. First, I'm going to start just show a very, very simple app. So this is actually what you get out of the box when you go file new project and choose a grid app. And in this case, I'm using C#, but it would look the same no matter what else I do. All right, so this is just dummy data. And so the first thing that I did was I just took a project, and all I did was replace it with my SharePoint APIs in this sample data source file. So the sample data source file is what has all the dummy data in the last one. You can see that I've got two methods here, fetch groups and fetch items. What this is going to do is it's going to call my __API REST service in order to get back a list of the lists. So you can see __API/web/lists. That's going to grab back the collection of lists in that web. And OData also has some cool semantics like $filter, which allows me to say, I only want the ones that aren't hidden and that have this kind of template ID. So I'm going to only get back that collection. And then it's going to parse this JSON. So I asked for it in JSON format in this case, and it's going to parse the JSON and then just add those items into the all groups thing that, the application is, built on top of. And then I have a fetch items query, which is within a specific group going to fetch all the items that are there. So you can see underscore API slash web slash list slash get by title. And then it's going to pass in the group name, or in this case, the, list name or library name. And it's going to expand out to show me the file that's related to each one of these list items. And so what I'm, really doing here is I'm just creating that same application, but it's going to go look at my SkyDrive Pro site and show me all of the documents that are inside my SkyDrive Pro site. So if I hit start, it's going to take a second because it's going to authenticate to my SkyDrive Pro site. And then it'll come up and you can see that same basic application, but now it's got you know, this building end-to-end apps for SharePoint with Windows 8 Azure presentation. It's got Contoso Events Fiscal Report. So it's got a few documents inside of here. So you can see that you know, I've really got a very basic application here that's accessing SharePoint data. It shows you that there's power and, accessibility in order to get at data that's inside of SharePoint. But it's really only so cool. It's not that cool because I don't actually have the document. Well, there's another API inside of SharePoint called Git WAPI URL, which is kind of a funny named API. So I've got Git WAPI frame URL here. WAPI is the, protocol that we use to show those web-based viewers. So when we've got web-based Word, Excel, and PowerPoint, we've got a web-based viewer, and that's really just a URL out there somewhere, right? Like I can browse to that page that has my PowerPoint document on it. And these list items all have an API on them that asks for that frame URL. So what I should be able to do is to take this API, ask for the frame URL for each one of these documents, and then grab the HTML on that frame and set it inside of a web viewer in my project. So that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to uncomment these lines that are going to grab, if it's a PowerPoint file or an Excel file, they're going to grab the preview markup and the document markup from using this function. So it's just going to call this get file by server relative URL and then get WAPI frame URL. And then I'm going to go into the grouped items page, and where it has an image right now, I'm actually going to put a web viewer. And I'm going to do that both on the grouped items page and on the item detail page. And this web viewer just has a web view loaded, a loaded event. Whoops. What did I just do? This web view has a web view loaded event. And that's going to call a function. And all it's going to do is, take the markup that was in that list item and set it as a navigate to source. So web view has a dot navigate to source method on it. So hopefully if I didn't just have fat fingers and mess something up there, I'm going to hit play. And it's going to again go and authenticate with my SharePoint site. This time it may take a little bit longer because it's got to go get the documents. But you can see it's actually loading in the web viewer those little PowerPoint previews. And this is, I mean, this is interactive, right? So I can actually like click through and go through the slides. I can click through and see the, more full framed view of this WAPI URL. So this is an actual viewer of this PowerPoint file. And I can click through and see the, different PowerPoint images in my document library. So now I've got an even more powerful application just by using these same APIs and integrating them into this Windows 8 app. Cool, yeah, thanks. So that's a really pretty simple example, right? I mean, that was, I didn't show you all the lines of code, but it's really not that many lines of code. I'm going to show another example that's going to actually make some cool use of our feed APIs, and this time I'm going to do it from a service. So I'm not going to do it in a Windows 8 app. You could call the same set of APIs in a Windows 8 app, but I'm going to do it, in this case, from a service. So what I've got here is a SharePoint app. This SharePoint app is called SharePoint Connect. And what it lets me do is integrate with my feed and post some interesting content to my feed. And I'll show you the feed real quick for those of you guys who aren't familiar. This is just my dev site, so it doesn't have anything interesting in it. But this is my feed. You know, it's the same sort of feed you would expect from kind of a social networking site. I can say, hey, I can post messages. I can at mention people, so I can say, you know, E-Ray. And I can app mention E-Ray, and he'll get an email when I app mention him, so he gets a notification. I can do hashtags so that people can follow those hashtags. I can mention documents and provide links in here. Another really cool thing about this feed, as opposed to what you would get in maybe a social networking feed, is It's not just people and tags that I can follow, but I can even follow documents. I can follow sites, so that when those documents and sites get updated, SharePoint's going to push those notifications into my feed too, so I can always see the freshest information about all of my content and the people and the sites I'm interacting with from one place in this feed. And because we have an API for these feeds too, your apps can participate in that as well. So they can call the feed and add new content inside of it. And in this case, that's what this particular application does. So this is just a SharePoint app. This is Visual Studio 2012 and our Office and SharePoint tools. And the way that this app works is that I've got a web page. And on that web page, I'm going to click a button, and it's going to allow me to provide a comment about that web page. And it's going to post a link to that web page to my feed. One of the new cool things about this app model is that those apps actually are running on a separate server that I control. So what I can do is I can launch a separate Win32 process that actually creates a thumbnail viewer, this thumbnail helper thing right here. That's actually going to go out based on the URL I'm trying to share, open up a web view control, take a snapshot of that, save it into a BMP to my web server, and then I'm going to post a feed. I'm going to post a link to that and with an embedded image of that feed to my feed. So you can see there's some stuff here about creating that thumbnail. The interesting method here is post link to feed. So we're going to go to that, and we're going to see what that code looks like. So we'll go to the definition. There's nothing in there right now. But basically, you can see it's pasting in the root URL of the app, so I can refer to the image. It's posting the file name of the image. It's pasting the title of the web page I'm trying to share and the URL of the web page I'm trying to share and any comments that I have about this particular web page. And then it's got the client context. So I'm just going to insert a snippet called post to feed. You can see there's that root client context object that I was talking about earlier that's telling me which SharePoint site I'm interacting with. And I'm creating a new feed manager from that. And then you'll see this pattern. This is our managed API. You'll see this pattern in our managed API quite a bit. When I want to create something new, I create an object that has the creation data in it. So I'm creating a new social post creation data where I'm going to put all the information about the new post I want to create. I'm adding in the text from my comments. And I have this little placeholder here, the same way you would do for like string.format. I've got a zero placeholder. And that's going to correspond to this social data item in that array order. So I've got an array of social data items here. And this social data item is just going to be the link to that web page. You can see that there's a bunch of different types I support. I can have a document embedded in there. I can have a site embedded. I can have a tag that I mention or an app mention for a user. In this case, I'm just doing a link. And then I can also have an attachment to this social post. So in this case, I have an image, but I can also have documents embedded in that post. I can have an image embedded, and I can have video. So I'm just having an image, and then I'm going to use that file name as the path for that image. And then I'm going to take that creation data, and I'm going to create a post with it. The first argument here is which thread do I want to post to, but I want a new thread, so I have an empty value there. And I'm going to hit play. And it's going to launch this application. It's going to deploy it to SharePoint. Visual Studio has a bunch of cool logic packaging it up and deploying it. And it's going to take me to the application's start page, which is really just a super simple page that shows me information about the app. It's telling me all the information about how the app works. It kind of explains it. And it's got two different things. It's got a place where I can create an embed code to put in my site, or it's got a link that I can click directly in order to paste a comment. So this is that page I was talking about earlier, where I can write in a comment and paste it. Or I can actually save this thing to my favorites and create a bookmarklet with it. I've already got it there. So then, if I wanted to go to another web page, and let's say I was on Engadget reading about the new cloud app model for Office 365, I can go to my Office 365 Connect link and say, hey, check out this article and post it to my feed so anybody following me can read it. Or if I were a huge San Francisco 49ers fan, if I were, very hypothetical thing here, and I were very proud about the 49ers and them whooping up on the Cardinals this weekend, sorry, any Cardinals fan, I could post this. I can say, booyah. And then if I go back to my news feed, you'll see that there's two new entries in here, and I can click those to refresh them, and you'll see that my comment is embedded in here, the image of the page is embedded in here, and a link to that page so I can click on it and people who are viewing my feed can see it. So this is how your apps can integrate directly and create content, participate in this feed infrastructure that all the SharePoint out-of-box content will participate in as well. One thing I want you to notice as we transition to the next subject is there's this There's this information here about when this was posted. So it says it was posted a few seconds ago via SharePoint Connect. So what that is that's the name of the app that posted this information. So what do I want you to take away from that? Well, SharePoint knows that it was me posting, right? That's why it's on my feed. But it also knows the app that was posting. It knows the app principal that made that call. And that has to do with the way that we authenticated, so that SharePoint knows it's an app called SharePoint Connect that created that piece of content. And that's what we're going to dive into next, is all about how apps authenticate, whether from a service or from a Windows 8 application, and how you make that call so you can get access to these APIs. All right, so I'm going to switch back to the slides real quick. PC. We covered SharePoint API. Now we're going to tell a very quick story. And this story doesn't really have anything to do with SharePoint, but I want you to get an idea of why we care about the notion of an app principal. Why we think it's important that apps be able to authenticate in addition to users and that we understand them separately. So this story is about me. That's why it says Rob. I've done this story a bunch of times, and people gave me feedback, and they said, it doesn't look like you, so I added a beard, so now it looks like me. And I use a photo, hopefully you guys have heard of it. I use a service, hopefully you guys have heard of it, called SkyDrive, in order to save my photos. In fact, my awesome Lumia phone automatically uploads all my photos to SkyDrive, and so all of the photos that I've ever taken and all the photos I want to share with people are in SkyDrive. And SkyDrive gives me a login. Actually, Microsoft gives me a login to SkyDrive. I got some credentials. I have a username and password that I provide to SkyDrive to say, hey, I'm Rob, so I should have access to these resources, this protected resource inside of SkyDrive. I use another service, this one fictional, but you can imagine plenty of real ones that are exactly like this, called Contoso Photo. What Contoso Photo is it's a website where I can upload a bunch of different pictures and have them printed, professional quality printing, and they'll send it to my house. Now, Contoso Photo has a separate username and password that I log into, right? I authenticate to them with a different username and password. They may happen to be the same if I'm not particularly security conscious, but they are actually authenticated differently. They understand me as a different user. But there's this natural question I would ask, which is, hey, SkyDrive has a bunch of photos inside of it, and Contoso is a service that prints photos. So wouldn't it be cool if I could actually connect them directly so that Contoso, I could just say, hey, Contoso, go print the photos that are in that album. I didn't have to download them and upload them again and kind of keep track of them in two different places. But the question is, how do I actually get Contoso Photo to do that? Well, the kind of most naive way, the initial implementation that people think of is, they say, okay, I'm just going to give my SkyDrive username and password to Contoso Photo. I see some people smiling because this is not a great idea. So why is it not a great idea? Well, it'll work, right? Because I have permission to view those photos, and SkyDrive can't tell the difference between me and Contoso now, because we both have the same way to prove that we're me. So Contoso can view those photos too, and now they'll be able to view them and print them and do all the right things for me. But I can do a bunch of other stuff too. I can upload new photos, I can tag them, I can comment on them, I can share them with people. And maybe, I think, you know, Contoso is a very trustworthy company. I know they're not going to risk their reputation by doing something goofy, so maybe I trust them. Maybe not. So maybe I trust them to do these things, but there's some even more scary things that Contoso can do now, because I can change my password. And so now Contoso can change my password too, which could lock me out, and that's really scary. But what's even worse is, let's say when I'm done printing the photos, I don't want Contoso to have access anymore. I decide I don't trust Contoso now, so I want to rescind their access to my protected resource. Well, my only real option is to change my username and password, which may be kind of okay for one service, but let's say I connected 10 different services to SkyDrive. Now I have to change my username and password and update the other 9 with the new password, and so it's a totally untenable way of dealing with this problem. And it's all because SkyDrive can't tell the difference between me and Contoso at this point. So there's no way for SkyDrive to say, Contoso can do this, or I can. There's no way for me to say, I don't want Contoso to be able to access this stuff anymore, because SkyDrive can't tell the difference. So what's a better way to do this? Well, I'll give you the abstract notion. So it would be better if I could give Contoso a note. I'll hand Contoso a note. So I know that Contoso is the one that has it, and Contoso is the only one that can use this note. And I'm actually going to sign that note, so that when it shows up at SkyDrive, SkyDrive says, yep, that's signed by Rob. And I got some more feedback that that's not actually me, so there's a beard on it. So now we got the beard on my lapel. So it is signed by Rob. And that photo, that note says exactly what Contoso is allowed to do. It says, "Dear SkyDrive, Contoso is allowed to view my photos." Right? And what's even better is I can put a time limit on it. So I can say, "Dear SkyDrive, Contoso is allowed to view my photos for the next 10 days or next 30 minutes or next 3 hours." So that SkyDrive can say, "Hey, you know, they're done printing the photos. I don't want to give them access anymore." And so now SkyDrive can understand the difference between Contoso and me so that this access can expire. I can make it so that Contoso can only do the exact things that I want it to do. If I don't trust Contoso anymore, I can say, "Hey, SkyDrive, forget about that note. Ignore Contoso when they come to you with a note again." Right? So this is kind of an abstract way of talking about app principles and why they're important. But if you look at this SharePoint app model, it applies here as well. So in the past, we've had SharePoint 2007 where in process with all the code running in SharePoint, you would write your custom code. And if, I know you guys all write perfect code, but some people don't write perfect code, if you had any mistake in there, it could cause the entire farm to go down, it could cause pages to not respond, it could cause, you know, huge havoc with the function of core SharePoint. So last release we created this thing called the sandbox, where we said, "Hey, this is great, you know, we can run your code in this safe place where you can't mess with our processes, and so if your stuff crashes, it's no big deal." But we got a ton of feedback that said, "Hey, when I'm running in the sandbox, it's very limited because you're trying to protect SharePoint from me, so I can't do stuff like call out to remote web services, and I can't use reflection and use all these things that I need to get my job done because I'm in this sandbox." So in 2013, we have this new app model that says, "Hey, we're actually going to make it possible for you to write your server-side code and your custom application code in any place you want. You can write it in JavaScript. You can write it in the Office applications. You can write it for devices, Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8. You can write it for whatever device you want. God forbid some other device, but you know Windows. You can do that too, but Windows 8 is awesome. And you can write it on whatever server platform you want. And we're really going to focus on making these connections, making access to SharePoint, making authentication to SharePoint really streamlined. So if you look at this picture, and you replace Azure and your custom application with Contoso, and you replace SkyDrive with SharePoint, you say, SharePoint has this protected resource in this service API that your application wants to get at. The same principle applies here, where we want to be able to tell the difference between the user that's acting on their behalf and the service that's calling in. So the solution we have for that is OAuth. In particular, we use OAuth 2.0. And this is the protocol that we use to handle it. It allows us to understand both the app and the user who's calling. It's become a very established model for users granting access. So in some cases of OAuth, what we do is we actually prompt the user and say, "Hey, when you're installing this app, this is the stuff that it wants to do." In other cases, we have very highly trusted apps that are connected by tenant administrators, and so they automatically get a bunch of permissions. But in either case, it allows us to understand those identities so we can make those decisions well. And it's become a very standard industry practice. There's a bunch of existing internet implementations across a bunch of different companies that have very powerful infrastructures built on top of it. So that's why we chose it. And I'm going to describe kind of the core flow here for how we decide authentication when we come in. So remember, we've got user authentication where people can type in the username and password. And then we've got applications that can come with these notes, the note that's signed by me and that has a time limit on it, right? So this is how we decide all of this stuff when you show up at SharePoint. So at the start, the first question we ask is, did a user come and provide credentials directly to SharePoint? So on this request, do we basically have a username and password or some sort of cookie or some sort of token that represents the user directly? And if we do, then we set the context of the request to just be the user, and it works exactly like it always has in SharePoint. So we continue on, and we go to the end as the user only. So there's no real change when you're providing a username and password or those user credentials directly. But if you don't provide user credentials, the next thing we look for is an app token. And an app token, you can think of that note again. So that note is the thing that we're looking for in this next check. And we're saying, did we get a note and not some user credentials? If we didn't get a note, well, then there's no authentication on the call. So we're just going to treat it as an anonymous call. If it's a public website, that might work. Usually, you'll just get access denied. But what gets interesting is when you did provide a note, you have an app token. We actually support two different kinds of notes, one that's actually signed by a user. So if it does have a user information, it's signed by a user, then we'll set the context to be both the user and the app. And that's what you saw in that feed example, where it was posted to my feed on my behalf by SharePoint Connect. But we also support this notion of an app just making a call on its own. So it's kind of elevating. It's doing something that the user may not have permission to do, and it's creating an app-only context. It's just providing a note directly, without a user signature on it. So we can end up in four different kind of states at the end of this authentication. We can have the normal user-only context that we've always had. We can have an app and a user if we're acting on their behalf. We can have just an app if we're kind of elevating to do something that the user we're acting on behalf of may not have permission to do. Or we can have an anonymous context. So there's a bunch of slides in this deck then that actually go through exactly how this protocol works, request by request, and exactly where the tokens come from and how you create them on the service. This is really for you to refer to later when you get the slide deck. I don't want to go through it now because we don't have a whole bunch of time. So you can come back and see exactly how that works. Instead, what I'm going to do is a very quick demo that shows you how to create one of these really basic remote apps. So I'm going to switch over to Visual Studio again. I'm in Visual Studio 2012. I'm just going to go File, New, Project. And I'm going to create an app for SharePoint 2013. We'll just call it SharePoint App 5. Good enough. It's going to ask me what site I want to debug against. That's good. It asks me to choose what architecture, how I want to host my app. And I'm going to host the web-based portion, so I'll choose Provider Hosted. And I'll hit Finish. Visual Studio is going to create this project for me. This solution will actually have two different projects inside of it. One will be the SharePoint app project that will actually create the piece that gets installed in SharePoint. And then the other piece will be the remote web project. In this case, it's going to be ASP.NET Web Forms. You could also choose MVC. You could choose some other technology if you wanted to build on top of a different technology other than ASP.NET. But by default, I'm going to get this ASP.NET web application. So here's the SharePoint app project, and here's the ASP.NET web application. And inside of this, there's a default page that it's going to launch to that has, by default, some code that will handle the handoff from SharePoint of the note and the sending of the note back into SharePoint. So if I actually hit F5, I get a really basic call from the service into SharePoint. I'm going to show a little bit of different code here instead. So what I'll do, I'll go into my code snippets, and I'll go to basic remote app, and I'm going to first read and validate this context. So this is when somebody shows up, when somebody launches this app, SharePoint's going to send me some context in what's called a context token in the request that tells me about who's calling and how I can call back in. So I'm setting all that information up by creating this SharePoint context here. And the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to then say that I want to create, I'm going to create a little function down here called createListItem that just takes a note as a parameter. Create list item function. It takes the URL where I want to create it, the access token, which is that note, and it creates the title of the list item that I want to create, and it uses our client object model in order to create that. Got to resolve a couple references here. And then I'm going to create two different pieces of code that are going to create two different types of notes. The first one is going to create an app and a user list item. So this is going to get an access token using that context token from SharePoint. And then it's going to create a client context based on that list item, that access token. And then the second one I'm going to insert is creating an app-only list item. So this is creating an app-only access token without a user on it. We're running short on time, so I'm going to go really fast here. And then the last thing is when I want to use that app-only policy, I actually have to request the ability to use it from the user so that they know that I can make requests when nobody's around. So I'm going to hit Allow App Only Policy, and I'm going to hit Start. And all this is going to do is, actually, I forgot one little piece. Let me go back. Oh, no, but I did get it. And then it's going to output to the bottom of the page a link to a custom list. So I have to add that custom list. Now it's deploying, so it'll take just a second. Almost there. Visual Studio is doing a bunch of cool stuff in the background. It's actually spinning up an IIS Express site on my local box. It's packaging up my SharePoint solution, and it's installing it on my SharePoint box. And it's connecting all the app identities and auto-creating them and generating them. So the first time that I deploy it, it takes a little bit longer. But the subsequent times that I deploy it, it'll be much faster. So it's asking me if I want to trust App 5. I forgot to create this list in here, so I'm going to go and add to my SharePoint solution a list. We'll call it custom list. It's going to open up a little wizard that helps me choose which list I want. So I'm going to just create a non-customizable custom list. And then I'm going to hit F5 and let it install. And while that's baking, I'm going to show you the last few slides, just so we can fit those in. So there's some resources here on OAuth if you're interested in more detail. That's in the deck. And I'm going to show you the last topic real quick, which is a very quick one called remote event receivers. And these remote event receivers allow you to take an event that happens inside of SharePoint. So say I've got a task list here. I'm creating a new item in this task list. When I hit save in this SharePoint piece, I may want to know about that in my remote app in order to react to it. So when I hit save, I can actually send one of these remote events to my remote app server and say, hey, this list item was just created. Here's the metadata about that list item. And of course, if I'm integrating with devices as well, that app server can then do cool stuff like push out notifications, like you saw in Donovan's demo, about, hey, this item was just created. So I will show you that demo also. As we are out of time, it's going to be really fast. So I've got a SharePoint notification, notifications from SharePoint app project here. And I'm going to hit start. And this is directly out of the Windows samples. All this app does is create a channel notification. So I'm just going to create that. I'm just going to copy that, that URL there. And I'm going to go back into my remote service. And I'm going to go to my push notification app. And I'm going to add an event receiver. We'll just call it remote event receiver 1 because we're short on time. I'll add it to the announcements list when an item was added. And I'm going to dump in exactly the code that's in the Windows quick start on push notifications page. So this is just up on MSDN. I'm going to push that into the bottom here. I've got to resolve a bunch of these guys. A lot of these. Okay. And then in this service that Visual Studio created when I added that remote event receiver, I'm going to add a little bit of code that's going to take the after properties from this event. It's going to grab the title and the body of that announcement and embed it in some toast notification XML. And then it's going to read some configuration from the web.config manager for my specific application. And the last piece I have to do is I have to paste in that URL from my SharePoint app, or from my Windows 8 app, the channel notification URL. Into this URL here. Okay, so now we have two demos going at the same time. Oh, have to fill out the regex. All right, now we have two demos going at the same time. Here's the one that is going to create items inside the custom list. And what that did, remember, when that item was, when that, let me go, just go back here and show it. When this page was loaded, it created a couple list items. I can show you that it's actually running by just hitting F5 here and hitting a breakpoint, so I can actually debug against this app real-time, even though it's server-side code. What it should have been doing is creating a couple of list items. And if I go to the custom list and look at those list items, you can see here's the one that was created by an app and user, and here's the one that was created app-only. You actually see that if I go to the list item, SharePoint actually knows that it was created by SharePoint App 5 on behalf of Rob Howard with the app and user one, and it was just created by SharePoint App 5 with the one that was app only. So it's actually using that note to figure out which one it was. And then here's the push notification app. So I'll hit trust it. I'm looking at that announcements list here, and I've got my Windows 8 notification app running. So everybody's going to cross their fingers, and we're just going to go ahead and say it worked. And here's the body of the announcement. And I can hit save. And it worked. So you can see I got my notification. It's on my Windows 8 machine. And it all came from my remote event to my local IIS server and back up on the notification service and down. So we are now 5 minutes over. I apologize for going late. We told you it was a jam-packed session. We've got about as many demos as we possibly can. So that's remote event receivers. The last thing is just your takeaways, which is just to say, hey, we've got a whole new set of APIs. Hopefully you got a small picture of the APIs that we have, everything from user profiles to feeds to list items, everything all kinds of jammed into one. And this allows you to take advantage of SharePoint as a service like you never have been able to before. We've also got a new authentication infrastructure that allows you to authenticate as a remote service, either on behalf of a user that you're interacting with, or on as an app alone in order to do things like elevation or to call back later while the user's not around. We've also got a deep set of APIs and web technologies that are available from all different platforms. So your entire end-to-end application, when you have a service and you have a Windows 8 application and they're integrated closely together, both of those pieces can interact with SharePoint in order to do rich things like interact with user profiles and directories, in order to post to feeds, in order to get documents embedded and have document management capabilities inside your applications. So I hope you got a kind of an idea. I know that it was a whirlwind. I know there's a ton of different stuff. Hopefully it gave you an idea of all the different things that are possible. And in terms of exact documentation and samples on how to do all the different things that I showed, whether it's remote event receivers or interacting with the REST APIs, dev.office.com is the place to go for all of that. And then, of course, for Windows and Windows Azure, there are corresponding documentation sites for those pieces as well. And if you're interested in SharePoint stuff, I'd encourage you today at noon. There's a session entirely on developing SharePoint auto-hosted apps, and it's going to be all about creating an MVC, ASP.NET MVC application that SharePoint automatically packages up and posts into Windows Azure and runs for you so you don't have to manage it on your own. So I encourage you to check that one out too. So thanks very much. Sorry we went a few minutes over. I hope it was helpful for you.